maybe that's where I went first. I went to the ARRL, and then I went to their podcast section on their website and found that it is episode number 5, I believe. It's early in there. But it was very instructive to me, and I had listened to it before. But you know, you forget these things. You just, if you don't use some knowledge, it kind of, you know, oozes out the cracks, I guess. We all have a few cracks, don't we? So he suggested, now this may not be the way you want to approach this, but it is a sure way to fix this creature. Or at least to get at least to figure out where this is and what it is. It's kind of extreme. What you need to do is, during a time when the interference is obvious to you, you can hear it, you go to your electrical box and you shut everything off. Everything. It'd be helpful to have somebody to help you with it, because and if your electrical box is labeled as to what circuits are on that switch that you just switched, or the, you know, however your box works. See, what I'm saying is you turn everything off. Your radio's still on. That's running on a battery. Okay? That's kind of important, too. So if when you turn your house off, that goes away suddenly, you know, the interference, then you know it's in your house. That's the advantage of that. Your radio's running on a battery. You turn your breaker box off. Everything is off in your house. If the noise goes away, then it's in the house. Okay. Now you start turning things back on. And you turn on one circuit at a time. Now, I know you're going to have to reset your clocks and all that stuff that might be, but this is the price. You know, I'm sorry, that's the price. So you turn back on one by one, and when you hit that circuit that brings that nonsense back, then you found out where your problem is. That's a lot of detective work. It may not be what you choose to do, but it's a surefire way to find out whether it's in your house and what it is that's the offender. Now, that was in the first 3 minutes of that podcast. He went on and on and on with how to deal with it when you find it, stuff like that. It was very good. Very, very good. KK4JBQ.
4LZ, my only problem about that part is the rest of the families and the members of the household wouldn't like me, but that's the only problem about it.
You just bring it to them as I brought it to you. This is the price. And they have to buy into it, I suppose. If you can't pick a time when this, you know, really there's a couple of balls in the air anyway. One of them is considerations for the rest of the family. I understand that. And the other is you don't want to start this until the noise is there, until it's you are hearing the noise. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's sort of about like how do you catch a thief? Well, you sort of, you have to think like the thief does, right? So this is it's logical, and it's the only way, it's the only surefire way of figuring this out. Okay, now we discussed what it was if you turn your house off and the problem goes away. How? Now that's the other side of the coin. This coin has two sides. The other side of the coin is that you have proven, if it doesn't go away, you're listening to your radio, which is on a battery, and the noise is still there. It is not in your house. This is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. You'll have to figure out where on the property it is, and that's when the the device that we were talking about, one of those two devices, would be handy. The one with the telescopic antennas there, it's in a dipole configuration, you know. It's very broad-banded, so I think it covers all the amateur bands. So if you can hear it on your radio, you can hear it on this thing. And it's sensitive. It's directionally sensitive. So you are waving it around. You look like a crazy man out there, waving it around, pointing it here and pointing it there. And at some compass point, you know, go just stand in one place and go around in a circle, you know. Now, it still may be blocked by your house or, you know, some other something or other, so you just move to different places, turn around in a circle, and you will hear it. If it's, of course, if it doesn't want to be found, when you're doing your best, it goes away, and you'll never know that it went away. I don't know what to hope for, whether it's that I should hope that you find it in your house, or that I should hope that when you got the electricity turned off, you still hear it and you go out to the outdoors and figure out. I mean, the first thing, of course, would be to go to that meter box. When you turn your house off, and it doesn't have to be for a long time, when you turn your house off, the meter thing is still running. And so that would be the first thing I'd check. The first thing I would assume is that if it's still working and the house is off, it's something outside your house. The first thing outside your house is that meter, which is not your responsibility to fix. You know what I'm saying? KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI, you're right, it shouldn't be, that's for sure. The thing is, on the other side of this wall from where I'm at, the meter's on one side and the breaker box is on the other side. I'm just, well, you're right about that too, about narrowing it down like that. That's true. But from the power electrical part of it, I'm hoping this, gadget that I'm going to get, a test instrument, can tell if it's in the meter itself and not in the breaker box. I hope it can tell me that, because they're both side by side here.
My guess is that it will not be able to tell the difference between two things that are so close together. It'll say, there it is. You know, like I was standing there 3 feet away and I pointed at it. You don't know which one I'm pointing at if they're that close. To turn, and honestly, except for the inconvenience of resetting those things like clocks that are plugged in, or, you know, there would be one mitigating thing that I'd say. If you have anything like a clock radio or, you know, something else that has a battery backup, be sure that it's a fresh battery in there, because you are going to turn it off. And in that case, I don't know if your house is, anything like mine, we've got 40 clocks in this house, electric clocks. I might be exaggerating a little bit. 30. We've got 30 clocks in this house. I look around this room, and there's seven in this room. Why is that so? Well, I was a watchmaker once in my life, and I am fascinated with clocks, and I collect clocks, and some of them are battery-operated. And if I look at one wall, every room's got four walls, right? And I want a clock on every wall in every room. So that's at least four in every room. and I'm not kidding about that. There's clocks everywhere. And of course, you, there's clocks that tell time, and that's all they do. And there's clocks that are in clock radios. I'm looking at one right across the room here, and it's the only clock on that wall. So it's a clock radio, and it has a lithium, one of those little coin batteries in it, coin-like batteries. It's got one of those in it, and I know it works. It's fresh. You know, that's just in it. Of course, the computer here on my side, this is on another wall, the computer, but then I've got a battery-operated clock. Now, that's just battery-operated. It's not connected, or it's not connected to the household electrical. This is what would be involved. Anything connected to the household electrical that you turn off will have to be reset. There are a few of those. We have two stories here, and I think at least 30 clocks to reset when the time changes, you know. KK4, JBQ.
4LCI, that's why I'm having to go out this slowly. You know, the other family members in the household, they don't care about amateur radio or about anything else, and they give me a flack about it if I even think about trying to encourage them to get into it. So that's why on that part I got to kind of play it kind of cautiously. I'm just hoping that I can nerve, because like I said, that breaker box and this meter base is side by side here on the other side of the wall. And I'm hoping I can nail it right to that meter base. I hope I can.
I can't say for 100% sure that what I'm about to say would be true, but oh, let's say the interference you're hearing is a loose connection, is an arcing of an electrical circuit. This could be a direct cause of a fire. You don't know. It could be the transmission that the meter is doing, you know. They transmit these days to the drive-by meter reader. He doesn't walk up to your meter and look at it anymore. It transmits, you know, just locally, maybe 300 feet or something like that. It's a low power transmitter, but you're sitting right next to it, so to speak. You're sitting, it's on the wall right there in your shack on the other side of the wall. But it could also be a short circuit. It's intermittent, like you said, and I don't know what it sounds like. If you could record the sound, that would be helpful to anybody that's going to help you figure out what this is. Record the sound that you hear on the radio. If it's intermittent, if it sounds like, you know, a bad connection, you know, there are things that a more experienced person than me, maybe than you, would be able to point right to it, but you've just got to do some detective work. Somebody has to do some detective work. And that's a good reason to start. It could be a fire hazard. And you could, you know, save the house from burning down, for crying out loud. It's no lie. KK4, JBQ.
Well, LZI, well, the part that I'm definitely know that I'm hearing, and I hate to be bearer of bad news, but it's not over currently. It's like a ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It's kind of like that here that I'm getting on the HF. Here on my interference that I'm hearing. Where I hear it on this 718 I got here. Where I'm at here on the other side wall from the meter base. And beside it, the breaker box, or what I hear on the other way, on the other end of the house, which picks it up, but to a lot lesser extent, a lot weaker signal than that.
Yeah, I just have to check something. I'm not always certain exactly what I hear is what I should understand. Did you say that you are hearing on my signal right now a similar sound than that you hear with his interference?
Lesser degree, but it's not. I even heard it on Chris, Chad's cuz Noble lived on some on his signal. But it's nothing in your case to worry about. It's way in the background, but it kind of reminds me of that I'm getting here on AM here on shortwave and medium wave, that very thing. You know, with this, it pushes it up to 10 over 9 here.
Well, well. Since you've already said that this signal is present in your vicinity, you could be listening to anybody on any amateur band, and it would encroach. Because a lot of these, of that interference type of noise, is so broadbanded that you'll hear it on any amateur band. Our portion of the electromagnetic spectrum is just a tiny slice. We divided that into bands, and we made it, you know, very useful. People can play on, I don't know how many amateur bands there are, but to the ones that we use, up to, you know, 70 centimeters, something that's really broadbanded would affect all of them at the same time. If it's your receiver is what I'm saying. Your receiver is receiving that as well as anything else you're listening to anywhere on any band. So it could be me. And it could be anybody else you listen to. And rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat is, that's probably very characteristic. I cannot identify it, but it sounds like it's, and if that's what it's, if it's not sizzling, you know, or like, just imagine in your mind's eye that you could walk up to it, would it be throwing out sparks? You know, that's what I'm saying. What does the sound sound like if you could see it? Anyway, it's fascinating to do this. I know it's just aggravating you to death, but it's fascinating to accomplish something like this because you have to be a detective. You have to run down the causes, and that episode, oh goodness, what I was going to tell you what the title of that episode is. It is episode number 5. I'm far away from the listing of those things. But it's episode number 5 of The Doctor Is In on the ARRL website. It's archived there. It's not been airing, and it will not probably air again on any of their publications or websites or any of their programming. But it's archived there, and you can listen to all of them, and they are so interesting. This is just one of, oh, I'm thinking 40 or more. It's just one, and it's not very long, you know. It's a half hour, probably at the most. But very intelligent people who know a great deal more than you and me put together. And that's pretty obvious when you listen to them. Sometimes it takes me 3 times to listen to their conversation to kind of understand what they're talking about and what they're trying to get across. There was one time they were talking about an antenna installation that was on the end of the house near the chimney, but not strapped to the chimney. It was sort of badly, quite close to his daughter's bedroom window, attached to the house. And they got a wind, a gust of wind that came through there, and it pulled that whole corner of the house, the antenna. You know, you've got to have wind loading on any antenna. And it pulled that whole window frame out of their house because of the strain to put on it. And it was because of physics. So he reinstalled, fixed the window, of course, and reinstalled this thing but attached it differently so that the load was not pulling the window out. It was pulling in another direction, and the house could withstand that kind of pull. Well, that's the sort of thing they're talking about. You know, pretty smart stuff. You know, I'm nobody's professor, but I can understand when I'm being told something that it's, you know, it's a good thing to remember that little thing. Careful what you connect an antenna support to. It's going to get some stress on it. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, I'm no expert at this, so I wouldn't be asking information from other people like you about it if I was an expert. And up until recent times, I didn't have it. So that's what I'm using, this 718 or that Eaton out back. It's got commercial AM, FM, and of course AM on the short wave. That includes our, you know, our band plus the general vicinity of all HF on AM phone. Out there, you can barely hear it out there. Here, though, but like I said, I'm on the other side of the wall from the breaker box and the meter base that they changed out some years back. And over the decades prior to having my actually having a license, I had a DX160 receiver, which was pretty much the same thing, just a receiver, though. And an old Heat HR-10B, which was, let's see if I remember, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only. AMCW receiver sat in the same place. Like I said, I never got all that kind of noise on it, on those receivers, and didn't when I first got this here, 718. So, good chunk of it, it seems to me, seems to be when that meter base has changed, a good chunk of it. The way it seems to me, anyway. The way it's, because I didn't pick that stuff up back then.
Find another point. When you find this, you're going to want to stop that bug. You're going to want to get rid of that problem. Now, how is it you do that if it is the meter base, which is transmitting a short distance? But you're just on the other side of the wall. It's just transmitting a short distance so they can read the meter from the road. It's just where your shack is now. You know, keep it in your mind, in the back of your mind, that maybe what you will have to do is relocate your shack away from right there at the meter base. If you can get to some other distant part of the house, it might mitigate. It's going to have the greatest effect the nearer you are. So let's say you find it, and then, of course, depending on what it is, if it's a meter base, that's one issue. If it's a telephone or electrical pole, that's another thing. If it's an electrical fence, now they have a very regular repeating sound. Electrical fences do, but you may find, I've never tried this. It may not be easy to find recordings that other hams have made of interference. like a YouTube video of people who have cataloged sounds that are interference, and they identify them. You know, just turn on the recording, ka-jee, 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 and they identify that as an electrical fence. And that's kind of what it sounds like. From my memory, that's what it sounds like. It's very regular and repeating, and it doesn't go away. And then you have, you know, in not around your house now, but what I'm saying is that you'll have others like switching power supplies, switch mode power supplies, and they're in every house. If you get, that's those little black boxes that are on the end of the of a lot of things, and you plug that into the wall, and it's a step down transformer for one thing, and is not well shielded. See, what they take, and the doctors in episode, they make a point of explaining how that works. And it goes back to TV days. The engineers would put together a schematic before it was ever a product for the company. They'd put together a schematic from what they understand about the theories and everything to get something to work. And it could be a television, could be a radio, whatever it is. And they build that. And they prove that it works. And they're about ready to put it on the schedule to manufacture that thing. But before they do, they want to make sure they can, that they have to spend what they do to put all the parts in there. So what they do, and this was a surprise to me, what they do is they turn it on, and it works. They turn it back off. They take a part out. And they turn it on again. If it still works, they don't need that part. Well, maybe they don't need that part, so it'll work, but they need that part to filter something else, and it doesn't work for long. But if it works for the period of their warranty, maybe they don't care. That's the world we live in. That's the truth of it. Have you ever taken something apart and you see the, you know, the circuit board has a through hole, not necessarily a, you know, those are little small things, but a through-hole components, right? So they take a component out. When they manufacture the board, it still has all the holes. So you open it up, and you see the board, and it's got places where it's obviously something missing. But the thing still works. This is what they do. They design it as it should be, and then they take one part out and see if it still works. If it doesn't, then they put that part back. But if they, you know, the part might cost them 5 cents. But they're saving 5 cents on 10 million of them. You see what I'm saying? Oh, boy. KK4JBQ.
Boy, Elsie, I don't think this something you just brought up mentioned about Walwood says something other else. But I don't think this is causing that possibly. You reckon my main power supply here, this Astron SS 30M, but I use it here on this 8900 too as well. That this Astron SS30M starting to get kind of leaky in a way, but it don't show up here on FM.
You don't have, and I don't have, the equipment to properly test a power supply. The one thing that you have to your advantage is if it's operating poorly, it'll be hot. Maybe the device will still work. But if it's operating poorly, about to go, you know, the case is what I'm saying. And put your hand on it. If it's pretty hot, then it's time to look for a replacement for that. They shouldn't run very, very hot. If it has if it has a burnt smell to it, you know, take it out of the wall, put it up to your nose, and take a whiff. It shouldn't smell bad, like something burning. Without test equipment, this is the only thing you've got to work with. Your sense of touch and your nose, your sense of smell. if it's, you know, by eyesight you can tell some of them. I have had them, honestly. Take them out of the wall, and you can see that the plastic has started to melt. Or something quit, and you unplug it from the wall, and the plastic case has melted. So that's your sense of sight. Without test equipment, you still have some things that will work for you. Touch, smell, sight, and some transformers, and this, as I say, does have a little transformer in it, as well as some electrical circuitry, but some transformers hum, and it should not make a sound. That's kind of your hearing. So we do have senses that can work for us, but to tell how bad it is or which way it's going when it's going bad, that requires equipment like an oscilloscope, you know, that I don't have and don't currently know how to use. But I know that some people are equipped with that kind of thing. Their enjoyment of the hobby takes them into taking things apart, fixing them, putting back together. You need test equipment for that. Andy, I'm going to... my hand is about to... I've got a push to talk, you know. And this button is a Kenwood mic, and you've got to press that thing awfully hard, or so it seems. The longer I press on this button, the tighter my hand gets, so... That'll be my reason as I say goodnight to you. This is an interesting problem. Do keep me aware of how it gets fixed. You're going to fix this. You are going to fix this. But I just wanted to mention that if I spoke to you about it again, I was going to mention this turn your house off thing. And he started with that in the podcast. I was surprised. I didn't recall that, of course, but I listened to it again. And the first thing he said, just go to your breaker box and shut off the house, all of it. And then add one circuit, and then another circuit, and then another. If when you are adding them back, one circuit at a time, the problem comes back, then there exactly is the circuit. It doesn't point to what's on that circuit. That you have to find out by going into that room or that area of the house and looking around for something that's bad. But that's what a detective would do. You know, add back one at a time. It's logical. And to get yourself some good rest, I'm going to go out there and get horizontal myself. We'll talk to you again later. It's always a pleasure. KK4, JBQ, I'll be going on your final.
Well, LZI, well, I just felt this power supply. That ain't even warm. And running no more than 5 watts into this repeater here, the fan on the power supply, here it doesn't even come on. It does. Running no more than 5 watts. Into this repeater, so it ain't hot in that regards, power supplying, but like you said, there's a lot of equipment that I don't have to really go, and that just got to thinking about that. I hope it's still good. There's no way I can prove that there ain't, but when I bought this 8900 back in 06, I bought that power supply brand new, too, up at the Charlotte Ham Fest back then, so. And I was told at the time, Astron power supplies have a good record of really lasting a long time, so. For the time being, I'll leave that off the table, but it was interesting that you brought that up there about the power supply, because that's what powers this radio and the 718 both, and I just want to be sure that's not an issue. KK4JBQ, KI4LCI.